And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, Trump came to power in large measure by yelling fake news at every truthful thing that was said about him, and convincing his people that the media was lying to them. And they could, as Trump once said, don't believe him. Don't believe what you read. Believe what I tell you. But the truth of the matter is that the fake news all came from his side. And this week, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the founding of the modern world champion of fake news, Fox News.
Right. Or faux news, as some people call it.
Faux news, Fox News. It's not news. It's all the news they make up.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Mind you, I have no great shakes for the commercial press over the last 100 years. The American press has never had a very great history. The yellow press, the Hearst press.
Going back to Jefferson.
Going back to wherever you want to go back to, the American press is distinguished by a handful of outstanding, honest people, and they're submerged in a sea of corruption and lies. The great critic of the press, Liebling, A.J. Liebling, who wrote a column for 20 years about the press for The New Yorker, wrote once, freedom of the press only exists for people who own a printing press.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, I've been thinking, and I've talked about, I think, a little bit about the people that have really screwed up America or screwed America and made things worse. And you and I have talked about the Koch brothers and what they've done. And we talk about the Federalist Society. We talk about Newt Gingrich. But when you come to the press, I mean, there are a handful, and it seems to be a growing handful of people that have mightily contributed to this. Rush Limbaugh certainly was part of that that ilk.
He invented right-wing radio.
He invented right-wing radio.
Well, only in our time, because, frankly, in the 30s.
Well, you had...
Father Coughlin.
H.V. Kaltenborn and some other people. But we had Limbaugh, who told people that only he was telling the truth.
Right.
He single-handedly...
And who lied all the time. I mean, the lies were unashamed, made-up lies.
Yeah, but he taught people how to lie.
Yep.
That you're not ashamed about it, you double down, and you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat. That's one of my... when I talk about the four things that you need to do to have political power... And I talk about controlling the communications, repetition is one of the key things. And Donald Trump has said as much. So we have that. And then 25 years ago, we got Rupert Murdoch, the Australian, who did all sorts of manipulation in order to be able to get a license from the FCC. Became an American citizen and did all sorts of things. And Roger Ailes, who was a genius, an evil genius, but a genius in any respect in propaganda. You know, he talked about we report, you decide. Well, often it was the things that they didn't report that were really the important things. And they had Bill O'Reilly on the show, and they had his show, Glenn Beck for a little while. And now they have Hannity, who single-handedly, you know, advised Trump and Tucker Carlson now. Stephanie Grisham, in her book or in her interviews, has talked about the fact that Fox News is where they went every day to get their story out on there. So you had those folks. And now this week we've learned a couple of other things. We've learned in the media, it's not the broadcast media, it's the internet media, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and the control that he's had and that Facebook has had, using algorithms to drive people to spend time on Facebook so that they could get more and more profits. And without any consideration to what was being done or the harm that they were doing. And of course, we also had the Russian trolls and probably the Chinese trolls and the Iranian trolls contributing to that. Wasn't it something that we saw last week that 19 out of 20 of the websites on Facebook about religion, the evangelicals and the religion were controlled from Russia, were outside of the United States. You know, we saw things like that. And, there's another media. It's another form.
You don't have to go to Russia to get awful. You can go to Virginia. You can go to South Carolina. You can go to South Dakota.
Yeah. Well, South Dakota's, who knew what was happening in South Dakota? You know, used to be that the worst thing that they did was become the Delaware, and they became the haven for credit card companies who could charge you serious interest. They did away with all those controls, and that's why everybody's credit cards are controlled by South Dakota law. And now what we found out this week was that they have these laws that make the Swiss banking laws look transparent, that they allow trusts, perpetual trusts, to be hidden there, and so people don't pay any taxes.
And they accept money from all over the world. Every money launderer had to leave the Cayman Islands or had to leave Luxembourg or Liechtenstein went to South Dakota.
Yeah.
How's that making America great again?
Yeah. But, you know, it's just turning a blind eye to anything. I've held for a long time, and I've told it to people, that money and the pursuit of money is amoral more than it's immoral. But these folks have actually cross the line and do both. They're both amoral and immoral. They don't really care. Once they're found out, they're amoral in many ways when they do things and don't, and just say, well, profit's the only thing we have to worry about. But when things are pointed out to them and the harm and they still don't change it, then it tips over into immorality.
But I mean, do you really think that when they were doing it, they didn't know they were doing harm?
I think Roger Ailes and Fox certainly did.
Yeah.
They knew that they were doing
harm.
Or
some guy doesn't want to pay taxes. And he says, like Trump said, I take advantage of every loophole. That's the law. I'm a law-abiding citizen. When somebody does that, he does it in order not to pay taxes. Doesn't everybody who tries to beat the tax know that somebody else has to pay the tax on his behalf? He's doing harm to somebody else? Of course he knows it.
Yeah. Yeah, they know that, but they don't care because...
No, because they don't care. Because they don't
care. It becomes a game with them. And it's like the greed, it's never enough. I've got to be able to, scheme more and more to get away with more and more on that. And it's taken the country down.
And it's not just individuals. I mean, here's AT&T, one of the biggest media corporations in the country, in the history of the country.
They now own CNN.
They own CNN. But didn't they finance One America News?
Yeah, it turns out this week that we found out that the guy who was running AT&T decided that we have to have some really conservative news outlet, and they decided to basically fund it, you know, as if Fox News wasn't enough. You know, in general, you know, that kind of political manipulation shouldn't be what corporations do. But they're doing it.
They did it to protect the tobacco industry. They it to protect the coal industry. They do it to protect the oil and gas industry. They do it to protect the major industries of the country. Despite the fact that in every case, these industries are preying on the people of the country and, in some cases, the people of the world. But they've got to have news outlets that hide that.
Yeah, and divert people's attention.
Yeah.
So they make up things. They get people all hot and bothered over other things. You know, blowing up, you know, Hillary's emails. Yeah. You know, that was the big thing that people were talking about when they should have been talking about Donald Trump's inherent unfitness and corruptibility. I mean, look, well, you know, even after he won, we found out this week that typical of Donald Trump, he entered a business and it gave him great losses. That was the Trump Hotel in Washington.
You'd have thought that it'd be impossible to lose money in that hotel, given that every government practically in the world was rushing to give him money to stay in his hotel so that they could cozy up to him. The Saudis gave him millions a year for banquets, for meals, for rooms. Yeah. He still managed to lose $71
million.
What a great businessman.
And look at Deutsche Bank, you know, his own personal piggy bank for all sorts of things. Let him get away with missing interest payments or whatever for, 6 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Nobody else could get away with stuff like that. Or you wonder, I guess the oligarchs in Russia get away with that in certain areas. But in America, you think of it. Don't forget, there's still an investigation ongoing over the way that they charged people during the inauguration for Trump.
You mean because they doubled, tripled, and quadrupled their normal rates?
Yeah, and if they held an event there, what they charged for that. In other words, and the money then was just, I believe, laundered right through to the Trump Organization.
Right.
And then where it goes, who knows? I mean, this was another failure of the, you know, there were norms about conflicts of interest that Trump just blew right past.
And whenever anybody tried to investigate any of this corruption, Trump said, executive privilege.
Yeah.
I'd love to tell you, but it's just executive privilege. I can't tell you.
Well, like you said, I'd love to show you my taxes, but I'm under audit.
Yeah.
You
know? Now the Congress is trying to investigate the January 6th coup attempt. They're trying to get the principal plotters, Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, this guy Patel, whom he wanted to put in to run the CIA.
Dan Scavino.
His chief, one of his chief aides and one of his chief publicists. Four of them in all.
Well, and the big one is Steve Bannon.
The big kahuna, right.
Right.
And Trump said, I'm not going to let them testify because it would violate my executive privilege. He's not the president. What executive privilege is he talking about?
Well, technically, there may be certain things that could be invoked as executive privilege, even though he's no longer there. The Biden administration's having none of it. Joe Biden has said, you know, privilege, schmivilege. You know, I'm going to give everything that you ask for to the committee. But I did hear an analysis this week, and they said, you know, there are things that protect the public interest that may be privileged. You know, if they're talking about intelligence matters, or deep policy matters that they need advice.
There is no intelligence, there is no deep policy that has to do with making a coup against the government that should not be revealed.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's the counterargument, that this has no public policy benefits for privilege, that the public policy benefit mitigates against privilege. We need to get this out and find out what happened.
Exactly, exactly.
But the Trump plan is to litigate for years and years until statutes of limitation run out or until the public loses interest. And we have to see how this committee is able to you know, get around that.
Well, the chairman of the committee says, we wait to see if he does it, that he's prepared to issue a criminal citation and send the marshals out to arrest Meadows and the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. And don't forget, some of these people were not in the administration.
Bannon wasn't.
Bannon wasn't, certainly. But Bannon's out there, he's now he's got his media platform, and he's out there saying that, he's got 20,000 shock troops and that he's going to control the nation with those 20,000. He's telling people that Trump's coming back in 2022, grifting off of all this stuff.
By the way, you do know that 80% of registered Republicans believe that.
Yeah.
Believe it. They believe it.
Yeah. And, the vast majority believe this election was stolen.
Fake news.
There are all these studies. Well, there you go. You go back to Kellyanne Conway, alternate facts on this. I had talked about QAnon a while back and said that special that's on HBO that deals with QAnon, Into the Storm, and you look at the people behind it, and I say it's like the Island of Broken Toys. These folks around Trump are like an Island of Broken Toys. The MyPillow guy, who's going around with absolutely bonkers theories. And now he's getting himself sued. Idaho is now going after him because for the audit that they conducted because he said things were fraudulent and proved nothing. Sidney Powell, who once had a decent following as a lawyer, has gone off the deep end. Now she's complaining that she doesn't possibly have enough money to pay off the debts that she may incur from the lawsuits against her by Dominion and Smartmatic and what have you.
Isn't Trump going to help her out?
And that's the thing. They don't understand that Trump never helps them out unless it helps him. He never reaches in his pocket. Look at Rudy Giuliani, who went to Ukraine and went all over the place.
Didn't even get his expenses paid.
No. And Trump won't help him out. The other lawyer, Lynn Wood, who's, what did he come up with in the last week? Some really, really more crazy stuff about the election or some other things. He's just gone off the wall. These Congress people that are there, Paul Gosar, whose family has disowned him, and spoke at the rally on January 6th. Marjorie Taylor Greene, these folks.
Well, how about that doddering idiot Senator Grassley? He's 88 years old, and he's running again.
Running it. Well, look, Dianne Feinstein ran at 86.
Well, I could say the same about her.
Yeah.
You
shouldn't have run. Although, everybody wants to be the next Strom Thurmond.
He shouldn't have run.
For a long time, he shouldn't have run.
That's right.
But I once saw him. I was visiting Washington. I was at a conference, and we were going through the Capitol to go from one office to another, and he kind of scurried by with his orange-dyed hair. these folks, it's just and what they've learned from Trump and Trump has learned from Roy Cohn is you never back down. You just double down. There's no such thing as shame. you always attack. You never play defense. None of this stuff. You know, look at the NRA, where they're, you know, even Ali North resigned as president. He said there's corruption going around here. And we've seen the...
And the corruption was centered in Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah, and the finances and all of the things that they did, and that the companies filed bankruptcy, and the board of directors just rehired him.
Yeah. Well, he must know something about them.
Yeah. What does he have on? Well, you wonder where are the dirty pictures. You know, one of the people that Trump
you know that they're all corrupt. You know they're all stealing. So if he's letting them steal, he knows that they stole. He can prove it. One hand has to wash the other. They got to protect him.
Yeah, I go down, you all go down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, it was kind of puzzling because another one of the grifters that Trump put in was Louis LaJoy on the post office. And everybody is still wondering why he's still there. Biden appointed people to the board, and they should be firing him. But, you know, he came out, he told people this year.
I don't think Biden's appointments have yet taken effect to that board.
They may not have.
I think that's why he's still there.
Well, where's Chuck Schumer in getting people passed in the Senate?
I don't know.
That's one of the complaints, although they're passing judges at a record pace. But there's others that they haven't put into place.
Well, in some cases, for example, in the Defense Department and in the State Department, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley are preventing any of Biden's appointments from being voted on.
Yeah, that Senate rule's got to go down.
You mean there was a time hallowed Senate rule that can't be changed among all the other hallowed Senate rules that can't be changed because, I don't know, I guess Moses brought them down from the mountain?
Yeah, you wonder. But
what's the point of Senate rules except to allow the Senate to vote, make decisions, and govern? If the Senate rule exists to prevent governing, it's an illegitimate rule.
Well, it should be. It should be. But it's a point, it's a rule to benefit certain senators. Any senator that wants to raise a point. Like Rand Paul, is blocking the bill for additional funding for Iron Dome for Israel. There's a big deal that the Democrats, raised a problem with it and forced it to be taken out of the one big bill. But it passed the House almost unanimously. And now it gets over the Senate. And one senator is blocking the whole thing. But I want to get back to Louis LaJoy because he did something, the bad stuff we know about. He's slowed down. Deliberately slowing down and he's told people he's going to slow the service down.
And he's raising the rates.
Rates, right before Christmas when all the packages come out.
Right.
But playing Scrooge. But then he came out with a proposal that the Postal Union was willing to agree upon. And that was, there were two things. One, to let the post office do some banking, sell to do things like payday loans and stuff like that. And the second thing was to get rid of a prohibition era prohibition on them taking liquor through the mails. And that's now a big point of income for the private carriers.
Why is LaJoy doing that?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't understand that because it only benefits the post office. But I also want to know, this is the second Democratic administration that has not undone the rule for the post office that they have to fund the pension fund 50 years in the future.
I know, which is the whole problem that the post office has.
Right, right. And nobody's bringing that bill up. And
not only that, it plays right into the hands of the right wing that say, you see, government can never do anything right. Look at the post office. It's $30 billion in the red. It's always in the red. The truth of the matter is, it's always operating at a profit.
Right.
It only falls into the red on an accounting basis when you have to take into account the funding of the pensions 50 years forward, which no other business in the entire capitalist world has to do.
Right.
So you don't have to do that. The post office is one of the great profit makers of the country. So why the Democrats don't change that, I don't know.
It's puzzling. It's puzzling. It would certainly be near the top of one of my, if I were a president in my administration, things to do.
But, you know, let me ask you something about the Republicans. The Republicans are supposed to be the one of the parties and the main party
of banks,
of corporations, right?
Fiscal responsibility.
Fiscal responsibility, all that stuff. In other words, they're the great defenders of capitalism. We shouldn't have interest rates shouldn't be at such a level that businesses can borrow easily and so forth and so on. How come it's the Republicans who want to allow the government to default on its debt, bringing down capitalism? Are these jerks who are politicians as jerky as they seem to be?
You know, again, it's...
Maybe they're secret communists.
They seem to want to do whatever they can to bollocks up government. Now, of course, in the past, when there's a Republican administration, they pass these things.
Well, of course they pass these things. The Chamber of Commerce calls them up and says, you got to get this done. And they do it.
But the Chamber's called them up this time.
Ah.
The banks have called them up this time, and they're still not doing it.
But Trump called them up and said, don't do it. Because Trump doesn't know how the fucking system works.
Yeah. And he doesn't care, unless it can benefit him. Unless it benefits him personally.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Now, mind you, from my viewpoint, if the system comes crashing down, we'll have another system, a better system. I'm not in charge of defending the system. I didn't undertake to defend the system, but they did. How come they don't do the job they volunteered for?
That's their job.
Yeah.
That's their job. But, you know, their oath of office doesn't seem to mean anything. For political expediency or perceived political expediency.
I tell you, the real job, Madison Cawthorn told us what they really should be doing, right?
Another broken toy.
Another broken toy. But he explained this week that the real task of the government, or at least of the Republican Party, is to Christianize the country, right?
Yeah. And basically, he's got an ally in running for the Republican nomination for Senate in Ohio, Josh Mandel, who's comes up with these things. But of course, Cawthorn cited the Old Testament, so Daniel and David and Queen Esther, for reasons to Christianize the country. You just wonder. what about this? You know, he flunked Sunday school too, I'm sure.
Well, it's too much. Let's see what happens next week. This week was just unhinged. This week was unhinged.
Unhinged. I'm afraid next week may be too.
Well, we'll see. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.